NFL podcast with Matt and Bill Williamson. Matt, happy week five. We're really starting to cook a little bit as we're at the quarter pole. It's becoming an interesting season, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I will say, I don't know who's good. I mean, yeah. You think you'd know more by now, but I don't think I know more by now.
Do we know who's bad?
I think so. I think I can give you 10 teams that are bad, and they may win a game here and there against a, you know, what we think is a respectable team, but I'm pretty confident that there's, you know, a handful of teams that are thinking about next year.
Right. So if we don't know who's good and we know that there's 10 bad teams, I'm always kind of remiss to say that it's a good season, but it's an interesting season, right?
Yeah, I 100% agree. You know, that because some of those bad teams are upsetting the good teams. You know, your Raiders, my Steelers lost to teams that we thought were bad. You know, I mean, so even the bad teams can have good games and influence the outcome of things. It's not like there's a bunch of blowouts all over the league. So, yeah, I think that's interesting.
I think the team that lost last night isn't a bad team. They impressed me. They gave the Chiefs everything they want. I like what the Chiefs are doing, though. They're winning tough games. They're beating good teams, and they're doing enough to win. And they look pretty clean to me.
Yeah, I think they're the most impressive team thus far. You know, and that obviously started opening night when we all thought the Patriots were the class of the league, and they went in there and beat them pretty good. And they have not had an easy road. I mean, that's for sure. And they've been quite impressive. I mean, I think their slate of wins, or their slate of games, which are all wins, is clearly the most impressive out of anyone's.
Yep. And, you know, I mean, you look at what the Raiders are going through now. I mean, these two teams are 12-4 last year in the AFC West. You know, the Raiders got to start worrying about, are we going to be able to keep pace, especially with Derek Carr out for a weird window of 2 to 6 weeks, and he has a transverse process fracture in his back. Tony Romo and Cam Newton both came back after a week, but we don't know the extent of this. So the fact that the Raiders are saying it's minimum of 2 weeks, I'm going to believe them until otherwise. Time to worry in Oakland, or it's just for the temporary worry?
I think it's time to worry seriously about winning the division. You know, because Kansas City's pulling out, Denver looks really good. Unfortunately, my Chargers are not in the race. I think they're out of it too. But you look at the AFC, I mean, the wild card spots shouldn't be all that hard. So I'm still not very impressed with the depth in the AFC. I think that the Raiders are still very much in that hunt. And I'm not saying they can't win the division, but that's a real uphill climb at this point, especially if you don't have Carr for 2 weeks, a month, who knows?
Yeah, but you know what? We're only 4 weeks in, and just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I think a perfect example is when, think back to just 16 days ago, and the Oakland Coliseum is thumping and Marshawn Lynch is dancing on the sidelines and insists they can't think of anything else but, man, we're a Super Bowl contender. Now, 16 days later, the Raiders and the Jets have the same record, you know, and Derek Carr's hurt. So it's really so week to week everything. I just don't think we can figure out what's going to happen on Thanksgiving in the first week of October. You know, anything could happen. Kansas City could have some serious injuries, and they already have some. But you know what I mean? I think this pendulum swings so quickly.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I can't deny that at all. You know, we might start, you know, next week's No Relation podcast, we might be like, boy, the Chiefs are in trouble. I mean, that might be the headline a week from now. Who knows? You know, it just, they look really solid. They look like they're able to withstand some things. You know, Barry already got hurt. They look like the best team in the league for now, but I don't think we're looking at it like we did the Patriots in the preseason, saying, "Boy, they're clearly the best team out there." Or I'll take the Patriots, and you can have every other team for Super Bowl. You know, I mean, I don't think we're looking at the Chiefs as that kind of dominant unit, and we weren't right about that back then.
All right, let's talk about those Patriots a little bit. You know, the narrative going into the season is Tom Brady going to fall off the cliff at the age of 40? Well, I think four games into it, we feel pretty good that he's not. You know, 8 touchdown passes, no interceptions. He looks like Tom Brady. That arm strength may not be as what it was, but he's still Tom Brady. He's still very effective.
Absolutely. I mean, he's been – yeah, I mean – I don't know that Brady played at the same level this past week, but the 2 weeks before that, I thought he was unbelievably good. And they're throwing deep a lot, and he's effective doing so. Brandon Cooks looks like a hit. That defense is a nightmare, though. A couple things stand out, and this was the case last year, but their edge pass rush is a problem. You know, they're asking their guys to cover a long time. And that was sort of a problem last year, too. You know, they did not have great edge rushers. But I also think the collective team speed is bad. You know, their linebackers are slow in getting picked on. You slow linebackers, you have a slow defense. You know, that there isn't a position on the field that I'm saying, wow, they're highly athletic in that spot. I think the secondary can get there. But I also think Gilmore, the new addition, hasn't fit in well. There's been a lot of blown coverages. I mean, they're allowing people easy touchdowns, which never, ever, ever was the case for that team. And so, collectively, those problems are all adding up in a big way.
Can Bill Belichick fix it this year?
Yes. I mean, it would shock me if we have a Thanksgiving podcast and I'm still saying, boy, this is the worst offense in the league. You know, I mean, I bet they get back to middle of the pack. But, I mean, that's still a lot of stress to put on a 40-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that 40-year-old quarterback has led an offense to 129 points in 4 games. That's 32 points a game. That's fantastic. But the defense is allowing 128 points.
Right. Which would be the worst of all time. I mean, that's the pace they're on.
It sounds like you're worried about the personnel on the defense.
I am, and I understand that Belichick gets an exempt from pretty much all criticism, and rightfully so. He's probably the best coach that's ever coached and best team manager he's ever been. But wouldn't Jamie Collins and Akeem Nicks and Chandler Jones be useful right about now?
Yeah. You think so? But the thing is, he's always survived those things. They won the Super Bowl last year after getting rid of Jones, and you know, so he's not worried about that.
No, and I'm not even saying that's the whole problem.
Yeah.
Maybe this year's the last roster move.
You know, maybe this year is the lesson.
Maybe. I mean, they seem to be lacking a great deal of talent.
Here's another thing. Tom Brady's getting hit a lot. The offensive line doesn't seem as strong either.
100% agree. And I've always kind of thought that the line wasn't loaded with superstars, but the sum was greater than the parts type of deal with them. And that's not hanging true this year. He is getting hit a lot. Part of it's because they're throwing deep more, and I do think that no matter what they say, they miss Edelman. You know, that they don't have that quick-hitting, long handoff type of offense anymore, and that's tough. You know, I mean, that's going to wear down a quarterback to some degree. It's going to be more hits, more big arm throws, and that may take its toll after a while.
Yeah. Move over to Houston and Deshaun Watson. We've talked to him about him a lot, and I know you haven't been a big fan. Are you warming up to him? Because it seems like he's doing really well.
No doubt. I mean, the last 2 weeks have been highly impressive performances after an ugly preseason and ugly first 2 games. You know that I'm not a big believer, and therefore, I probably look at him more negatively at this moment than I should, because, you know, you have a bias on guys. You watch guys coming into the league and you like them or you don't, or you see weaknesses you think are going to be a problem or not. And he still worries me, But that seems kind of dumb to say. You know, like, he's really, really played well for 2 weeks. He's been highly impressive. But there's some things that concern me. And first of all, I still think his arm strength is questionable. I don't think it's great. I don't think his accuracy is great. And I don't think just because he's had two good games that all of a sudden he is going to value the football a lot. He turned the ball over a lot in college and early in his very young career. I do think O'Brien is doing a terrific job of scheming around his abilities. You know, you're seeing a lot of read option. You're seeing a lot of RPOs. You're seeing him on the designed movement. They have very condensed formations where the receivers are really close to the line, are really close to the ball. And there's a lot of, I think these past two defenses have been outcoached and overwhelmed and didn't know what they were getting into to many degrees. And I thought Tennessee's defense played horribly. And we already know, we just talked about New England, how they're a problem. So I don't want to get too excited yet, but the other thing about him is he's really reliant on Hopkins, which is fine. And Hopkins is drawing an amazing number of pass interference calls too, which is great. I mean, I guess that's sustainable. He's also holding the ball longer than any quarterback in the league, which I think is okay. That's his style. He's a runaround guy. He's clearly a great athlete and very good with the ball in his hands. But that's also not quarterbacking 101. And I don't think he's going to break the machine all of a sudden that, you know, he doesn't have to play from the pocket or do things that every quarterback's done in history.
Right. It almost sounds like you're saying it's a smoke and mirrors thing for right now. Is that fair?
That might be a little harsh because he is playing well. He's making the throws. And I bet all our Texans fans are like, come on, Matt, you got to give this guy some credit. He's playing really well. And yeah, I mean, I will, but I don't think the tape is quite as impressive as the results. And I don't mean to lump him in with RG3 and Kaepernick and those guys, but they had similar success relying on athleticism early in their career and didn't make the transition to true quarterbacking. And I don't think what he's doing right now is true quarterbacking, but it's working.
Does he have potential, though, to be a true quarterback? Because we've seen, like these the guys you mentioned, we've seen temporary success. Does he have?
And he has made some very nice throws within structure as well. I mean, I'm not saying he's just running around playing by the seat of his pants like Mahomes did in college. You know what I mean? Like, he certainly has been brought along well and he's playing well. I mean, he's helping them win games and putting up a lot of points. I mean, there's just no way around those things. Those are absolutely truths. But, I mean, for me to come off my wagon that he's a prospect, I'm still on that wagon. And maybe I'm just being stubborn.
Yeah. Well, no, I just think you know what takes to be a true long lasting quarterback, and if you see weaknesses there, that's fair. Because again, we've seen quarterbacks have temporary success, so who knows? You know, that's something to watch. But I think it's fascinating. A guy that we talked about last week, who's had the greatest success, has been an MVP, and then you said last week, he doesn't look like an NFL starting quality quarterback. We're talking about Cam Newton. Feel better about what he did last week against New England.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought he played really well. I thought he looked like Cam. You know, I mean, he was not protecting his body. He was playing with recklessness. And in his case, I mean that as a compliment. He made strong arm throws. You know, a slight hesitation that apparently the Patriots make everyone look great now. You know, we just said it's kind of the same things about Watson. But just the way that Newton looked in a vacuum, if you didn't watch the other 21 guys on the field and you just watched Newton, I think you'd look at him and say, oh, he looks like Cam now. And I haven't seen that, you know, for a while.
Yeah. Well, good sign for them. Guy, I want to ask, the same team, same backfield as Christian McCaffrey. We talked about this when we were doing our draft shows. And, you know, I'm a West Coast guy. I'm a Bay Area guy. I grew up 5 minutes from Stanford, and I'm a big Stanford fan. And I like Christian McCaffrey. Why wouldn't I have? But I always said to myself, I don't know if this guy is going to be worth such a high draft pick. And at that point, he's, you know, considered about a 25 pick. And then they kept going up and up and up, and he ended up being the 8th overall pick. And is he doing enough?
I don't know. You know, I the more I think about it, and you know, I do a lot of fantasy things too, and he was always a guy that I was saying, boy, he's overvalued in fantasy. And part of that reason is because I just don't think he's going to score a lot of touchdowns, which is irrelevant for our conversation. But I feel like long-term, the Jonathan Stewart role is never going to go away. You know, that next year they might use a second-round pick on a 230-pound running back. Like, I always think there's going to be a bruiser, and that McCaffrey's always going to be that guy's complement slash their probable slot receiver, you know, and get, he's getting a lot of targets, and I think he'll do good things with those targets, but I'm still not sure the whole philosophy of we're going to check down a lot, we're going to have a lot of short, quick passing is ever going to be Cam's game, you know, because not only does he want to drive the ball down the field and play deep into the down, he's not an accurate short passer.
So is McCaffrey a bad fit for Cam Newton's offense?
I wonder what they're saying behind closed doors right now. Like, obviously, you know, the offseason,
the guy who took him is no longer there.
True. That's a good point. That's a real good point. You know, I think the offseason. That didn't dawn on me until just now. But I think behind closed doors all summer, they said, Cam's taking too many hits. We got to get the ball out of his hands. We got to restructure how we play offense. You know, we need a quick hitting passing attack. You know, Cam's never going to last. Then you get into the season and the coaches take over, and I wonder if they're just saying, let's let Cam be Cam. You know, I mean, instead of sticking this square peg into a round hole, he's going to take hits. If we try to keep this guy in bubble wrap, we're doing a major disservice to our team week to week, trying to win games. And maybe he doesn't have the longest career because of it, but so be it.
Yeah. I don't know. Christian McCaffrey looked like me, like Reggie Bush. And
yeah, I was going to say that too.
And people try to talk themselves into saying, no, he can be a bell cow guy too. And I'm like, well, how? He's too small. He's an explosive guy. Reggie Bush was not worth he's the number two pick. He wasn't worth it. He had a decent career, but he wasn't worth it. And I don't know if McCaffrey is early in 24 games, and I don't want to be unfair to him. And he has had one good receiving game. But I don't know. I mean, look at his rushing numbers. He's complimentary. Darren Sproles did not get picked number 8. And I don't know if this kid is going to ever live up to that.
Yeah, and I think you're always happy he's on the team. You know, they'll sell a lot of McCaffrey jerseys, and you know, he'll have some Sports Center moments, and he's a good player. But again, Reggie Bush was unbelievable at USC, but not in the NFL. You know, like, it's easier said than done to say that guy is going to be the foundation of our offense, and maybe he never will be.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think it's hindsight. I think it was clear that Dalvin Cook was a more valuable player because he's more traditional yards eating running back. And I guess that's
Agreed.
An okay transition. What a bummer for the Vikings. And they've dealt with some things, haven't they, the Vikings?
Man, I feel bad. I mean, that's a tough situation. And a team I was really high on. And I really think, even though we've only seen this guy play, 14 quarters of football into the NFL level, that I'm certain that the drop-off from Cook to Murray / McKinnon is a big one. And it puts a lot of stress on Bradford, who should be coming back. And I still think they're a good, really good defense, and I think their passing game will be good. But I don't think the running game is going to be close to where it's been.
Yeah, it's just too bad. I mean, it goes back to, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't know if you heard Richard Sherman's rant the other day about people getting mad at players for being hurt because it screws up their fantasy, you know, league. And Sherman's like, you don't realize this screws up this guy's life for the next year. You know, it's going to put a lot of stress on the family and a brutal rehab. And that is, I'm totally aware of that. And it's sad for everybody as well, because we don't get to see these great players play. And Dalvin Cook, I mean, he looks like he was just a special player. And then he only gets 3.5 games.
Yeah. And that certainly is a bummer. And maybe they could get on the phone with Cleveland and see if he can get Crowell, or, you know, try to get Adrian Peterson back, or I don't know, but maybe you could get somebody else in there. And, you know, in the positive side, Cook's a young guy. I don't think there's any reason to doubt that he'll be the same guy for 2018, but stinks for now.
Yeah, certainly. Talk about Watson. I want to go back to the rookie quarterbacks a little bit. The right move in Chicago going to Mitchell Trubisky?
I guess. And Glennon's been bad, but I thought Romo had some really, you know, really good thoughts on this subject whenever he was doing the Bears game. What was that, Thursday night? Because I think I think he's awesome. Yeah, I think he's great. I think ideally the way they need to play offense is Shanahan-esque, you know, with a outside zone foundation, a quarterback that can move, play action, roll out. And that makes me scratch my head and say, why would you ever sign Glenn in the first place? Because he's a stiff. You know, I mean, he's a pure Bledsoe drop back, throw it, seven-step drop guy. And that's not how they are designing their offense. So I'm fine with them spending money on a stopgap quarterback or a guy that has some upside as a youth, you know, player. But I just don't think that fit made any sense. And by all accounts, people think Trubisky is ready and he needs every snap he can get. And they're not winning the Super Bowl this year anyway. So I don't expect him to look like Jared Goff did last year, because Trubisky looked pretty good in the preseason. So I'm for it. I mean, I think his movement will help them execute their offense better.
Yeah, and I mean, why not? You know, he may not be ready, but why not? Let's just start it up and see, and, you know, get with the future now. That's how I kind of look at it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, unless he's going to go in there and not know the protections and get killed. You know, I mean, but it sounds like he has a pretty good hold on those by most accounts. I don't know that for sure. I mean, that's sort of speculation, but then get him in.
Yeah, I saw a report that said that they're not sure if he's completely ready, but all the Glennon turnovers were just bringing down the team. So hopefully they give him a spark, you know, and he'll figure it out. He'll get ready. Might as well get ready on the job training.
And the thing that coaches always say, too, is the players know who should be the quarterback. You know, like, they're at practice every day. They were in there in the preseason. And if they're looking around saying, why is the better guy on the sidelines? You know, I mean, then that doesn't help morale either.
Right. Right, definitely. Talk about the other rookie quarterback. I did a story for FanRag yesterday, kind of a rookie quarterback checkpoint. And, you know, it's funny that the guy who's not playing is probably in the best situation in Mahomes. And the guy who's played the most, Kizer, is in the most vulnerable situation. Are we seeing anything from him? His numbers are not good.
No. And they're the worst team in the league. And I'm really disheartened with where they're at as an organization right now. I mean, I watched that Steeler game in week 1 and thought,
there's hope.
This team's going in. Yeah, they were competitive. They're going in the right direction. Pittsburgh pretty much had that game in hand from the beginning, but still it was like, okay, they're going to be a respectable team this year. They have all this youth. We'll see a lot of these guys developing together. And they certainly have had their injuries. You know, like right now, Kizer doesn't really have anyone to throw to, and we haven't seen Garrett, which is a real bummer too. But they're not competitive right now. I mean, they just got whitewashed by the Bengals, and I think they're clearly the worst team in the league, and he's not helping the cause. He actually got benched late in that game. I'm still a believer, but, you know, I mean, my Twitter audience keeps asking me, so you still want Kizer over Watson? You know, like, I sound pretty dumb if I say yes after five games, you know, after four games and what we've seen these last 2 weeks. But I did like what I saw from him in the preseason, and he needs to get the ball out of his hands, and he's abnormally young for an NFL rookie as well, and looks it. But his supporting cast, they're not running the ball at all, which makes no sense to me either. I'm just down on the Browns.
Yeah.
I feel like I should know better. You know, like.
Yeah, but the thing about the Browns is that, I mean, it's all about the future, right? And we've talked about 2018, 2019, they could be a really good team. Are we still feeling that? Or, I mean, is the point is that they stink, these young guys stink, or it's just going to take a while?
That's the thing. I mean, that's what I'm down on them on. I'm not down because they haven't won a game. I'm down because they don't look like they're making progress on the field, although I thought their roster was making great progress. You know, like, I do so much Pittsburgh radio. I kept telling people, laugh at the Browns all you want, but if Kizer's a hit, they're going to take over this division in a year or two, and you're going to be looking up at them, and they're going to be laughing at you. That sounds so far away now. You know, like, I like these young guys that they brought in, and I like their strategy, and I know it's a radical one, but they're so bad on the field.
Is that Hugh Jackson's fault? I mean, it's only 2 years, but he's 1-19.
See, that's going to be the talk now. You know, we're getting to hot seat time of the year where should McAdoo be fired? Should the Browns move on? And in a way, I've said for years that that's the worst thing the Browns could do, because to finally generate some stability, you have a long-term plan, you know it's going to take a long time, be patient, you know, and that's what I've said every step of the way. But I can't get over the fact that they're really bad every Sunday.
Yeah. And we're going to transition to two teams that are making very fast transitions for the positive and the influence of a good coach, and the Rams and the Bills, right? The stories of the first quarter.
They are. And I've been on board with the Rams since day one. I've been against the Bills since day one. And, you know, I picked the Rams to beat the Cowboys this week, you know, so I think the offense is very real. I trust Donald and Phillips to make the defense presentable, and the defense has struggled more than I thought. But the offense, I think, is legit real, and I think McVay is absolutely the right guy for that job and is turning Goff into, you know, a quality guy that's now in the conversation with Dak and Winston and Wentz and Mariota and those guys. As for the Bills, their defense I believe in. Their coach I believe in. I think Taylor's played well. They're not turning the ball over on offense. I don't know how sustainable the offense is, though.
Yeah. Probably not, but, you know, if they're good on defense and they're well coached, that's a big progress, you know. And this is kind of an ugly look for Rex Ryan that, you know, he leaves and another defensive coach comes in and they just look so much cleaner and just better and just less chaotic, you know.
And certainly for Fisher.
Yeah. Oh, certainly.
Certainly.
No better, you know.
Right. Both those guys are doing a long
time. You
know,
I mean, look at Rex believed in his defense. It didn't work. But Fisher was a defensive guy who just forgot about the offense and didn't care about the offense and didn't do enough to bring in a quality offensive coach. And, you know, that's the biggest sin of a head coach is that the other side of the ball that you're not a master of, you got to make sure you got somebody who is. And now the Rams do. It's almost like the Rams offensive players are cheated the last couple of years. Certainly Goff last year.
Absolutely. You know, that they were very predictable. They had some pieces in place personnel-wise, but they couldn't execute. The coaching was poor. The quarterback was overwhelmed. You know, that's on the staff, man. I mean, not that Goff is free of blame, but I can't stand when somebody uses a very early pick on a quarterback, let alone trading up for one and using a ton of assets to get the guy, and then they don't give him the pieces to succeed. You know, like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah. So if you're putting your chip, your rest of the 2017 season on the Rams or the Bills, you're putting it on the Rams, I would assume?
Yes.
Yeah. Easier division, obviously. Yeah. But, yeah, there's nothing I'm not liking about the Rams. And I don't discount the Wade Phillips presence. And, again, I was just talking about having somebody on the other side. Well, Wade Phillips is a defensive superstar that the young gun offensive coach McVay has in his pocket. And I love that hire, and I think it's going to work. And I know the Rams gave up a lot of points last week. But, golly, having Wade Phillips on your sideline if you make it to the playoffs, in your first playoff as a head coach, what a benefit that is.
Yeah, and like you said before, if you're a specialist head coach on one side of the ball, go get a guy and just hand him the defense. Well, who's better than Phillips for that? I mean, that's perfect. That's great hiring by McVay. And if you watch some of the stuff preseason, he used that as a chip to get the job. Like, hey, I can get Phillips as my defensive coordinator, so hire me. And so it was great. And I think – I don't think either one – I mean – I'm sure Bill's Mafia is already hating me because I'm not saying anything good about them. But I don't think either one of those teams are truly a contender.
No more than the Texans right now.
What's that?
No more than the Texans fans right now.
True. The Chiefs fans have historically hated me because I'm always rough on Alex Smith, too. But I'm saying good things about them. But if I'm thinking big picture, you know, an off season for the Rams that's dedicated to defense would go a really long way. And the Bills are clearly exceeding expectations, and they have tons of picks. So, I mean, imagine what they're like a year from now.
Right. I want to wrap up the show with two more topics, and one is the Rams' biggest threat in the NFC West, and that's Seattle. And it's funny to say that Seattle is the Rams' threat. It should be the other way around. They give you a little hope with those 46 points the other night, but there's some injuries. I mean, Averill's hurt. He's going to be out a while. He's an underrated defensive spark plug. And then the rookie running back Carson's out.
Yeah, and I just feel like the running back situation is going to be a revolving door all year. You know, there's going to be Lacy. Is ProSite going to come back? You know, I mean, just all those guys are injury-prone. Rawls. And I question their ability to run the ball as a big picture item for the whole year. But Wilson's playing really well. I think the defense is still really, really strong. Hopefully these injuries aren't too bad. I think the offensive line probably had their best game, but that's a tough situation. I mean, the Colts on the road is a really difficult place to play, undermanned. You know, they're on their third center who can't even get the ball snapped. You know, I mean, like, I felt bad for Jacoby Brissett. Like, that's an unwinnable situation. We'll see on Seattle. I mean, you guys know I'm big on Seattle, but they've kind of done me wrong a little. Like, I thought they'd be better than this. I thought they'd be right at the top of the power ranks. And maybe they'll get back there. I am a believer, but we'll see. I mean, there's been some ugly things for them so far this year.
Yeah. Just looking at Twitter, and in your city, Ben Roethlisberger does a radio show, and I guess he said that Antonio Brown created a distraction that nobody really needed in Pittsburgh with the throwing the Gatorade bottle. Are things getting edgy in Pittsburgh?
I don't know, because I just did a show yesterday, and everyone was talking. The big story was all this anthem thing and Villanueva has bonded them, and they go into Baltimore as a team and beat the dreaded rival. And now it's all downhill from here. I don't know. I mean, I guess I can tell you better when I get down to the facility in a couple hours and see if there is buzz about that. Yeah. You know, 'cause there was a big conversation too about the Brown throwing the Gatorade thing. See, that guy's ultra competitive. I mean, he's always the last guy off the field, you know, doing jugs machine, doing more than everybody else. Yeah, there's some diva to him, but I have no problem with that. I mean, he was wide open and wanted the ball on a play they put in, you know, or they ran a lot in practice. And Ben was, I don't blame Roethlisberger in that case. He was under duress and had to, you know, roll to his right and his eyes went to the right side of the field. But Brown was wide open and he wants the football in that situation. It'd still be running. So I think that's much ado about nothing. He is somewhat volatile, but no one thinks he's a bad guy. I mean, and no one questions, you know, like some, you know, diva wide receivers in the past. He's all about work ethic. So I don't think that's a big deal at all.
No, I think he's a competitive guy. Does it once in a while. He just wants to win, you know. I want guys who want to win. He wasn't upset because he didn't get the ball because of his stats. He was upset in that instant because he didn't get the ball because he knew he was going to probably score, you know, and help the team. So I'm okay with that once in a while.
Yeah, whenever he's complaining about not getting the ball, it's not because he wants to lead the league in receiving. It's because he believes the team has a better chance to win when he has the ball often. And that's right. Hard to argue.
Right. I mean, just for example, I'm not picking on the guy, but, you know, Raiders punter Mark King has 4 personal fouls in the last year. And they're all look at me, baby foul.
Yeah, right, right.
You can't do that. You're a punter, you know?
Right, right.
And he's not getting these fouls because I could have won this game on this play. He's doing it because he's immature. So that's a problem. What Antonio Brown did, as long as he doesn't do it too often, it's just a guy wanting to win.
And it didn't get a penalty. I mean, it just upset some people on the sideline. So what?
Right. Is Ben, I don't know this. Maybe I should know this, but is he talking? Is he being more honest lately? It seems like he's not really worrying about hurting feelings in his comments in the last year or so.
Yeah, maybe there is more of that. I mean, true or false, I mean, I think he looks at himself more as a leader now than ever. And I'm not sure. I mean, you remember he came into the league in a situation where it wasn't his team. I mean, it was the defense's team. It was Bettis's team. There was a lot of big personalities here, as there always is. And it took him a while to kind of become the man. And I'm not saying he's not liked by his teammates, but he's never been voted a team captain. He's had some off-the-field immaturity. He certainly has some look at me to him. And he's not playing great. So I kind of think that people around here take what Ben does with a grain of salt, you know, that just play well on game day. You know, we don't really care. You know, no one else cares about the rest.
This kind of takes us in the direction I think we're going to go, but what's going to be his legacy in Pittsburgh? There's Terry Bradshaw. Is he going to be considered, is he going to be appreciated as an all-time great Steeler? I mean, he's got 2 Super Bowls. He's been a quarterback for 14 years.
Yeah, I think he's the greatest Steeler quarterback of all time, and he could win another. You know, I think he'll probably be around 2 more years. I think they've got as good a chance as anyone to win the Super Bowl over those 2 years. I don't know that he's loved like other Steeler greats, you know, like people probably prefer Hines Ward, Terry Bradshaw, Jack Lambert, you know what I mean? And there's so many other big personalities. It's tough to compete against those guys, you know, like they just did a Steelers Ring of Honor this year where they put in 5 guys every year. And the competition for that is unbelievable. And then that wasn't even the Hall of Famers. Everyone in the Hall of Fame automatically went in. And this year it was like Donnie Schell and Elsie Greenwood, and let alone the Joey Porters of the world and, you know, all these other great players that are not quite Hall of Famers. I mean, clearly I think he's a Hall of Famer and respected and has a great legacy here. And I think he's better than Bradshaw. But I don't know that he's loved at the Joe Green level for sure.
Right. Terry Bradshaw will always probably be the Steeler fans' quarterback.
Right? Yeah. Although him and Noel hated each other, and I don't know if they hate each other, but he doesn't. There was a big stretch there that Bradshaw said nothing good about Pittsburgh or the Steelers.
Yeah. Hey, let's close the show out. We've given a little kudos to the New York Jets. I mean, I think we both said, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if they're 0-16, and now they're tied with New England. They're 2-2.
That's the craziest thing that has come out of our mouth after 4 weeks of play, considering where we were with both those teams. You know, like when I did power ranks, they're always really hard. But in the preseason, the one spot and the 32 spot were very easy to fill in. And now those teams are tied in the division, and I can't believe it. Miami's a train wreck, and they beat Miami. But they're better than I thought, like the Bills. I mean, I thought the Bills would be a bottom-feeding team. I thought the Jets would be the bottom-feeding team, and they're more respectable than that. And they may only win 3 or 4 games all year. I don't think that would shock anybody, but the defense is pretty good. You know, I'm writing a column right now about the best rookies in the league, and Jamal Adams is going to be right at the top of the list. I mean, he's a great player. And the offense isn't as awful as I thought. I mean, I guess that's a compliment.
I'm going to give it to the coaching staff because that roster is pretty miserable.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all looked at the Jets and said, boy, they're going to be 1-15 and Todd Bowles will get fired. Well, you better rethink that. I mean, he's doing a good job.
If he gets to 5 wins, and that's just what, 3-10 the rest of the way, or 3-9 the rest of the way, he better not get fired.
Not for what the hand they were dealt him. I mean, he maximized, I think, the talent. I mean, maybe if the last 2 months of the season they lose by 20 every game and just get blown out, and that leaves a bad taste in your mouth, you move on. But so far, he's way exceeding expectations.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Hey, great show. Good stuff. We're really in the meat of the season. It's a lot of fun. We will talk next Tuesday, everybody. Thanks for listening to No Relation NFL Podcast with Matt and Bill Williamson. Matt, have a great week, man.
You too, bud. This was fun.